Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to the BC Members Call on Wednesday, May 1st, 2019. In the interest of time, attendance will be taken via the Zoom room. For those on the phone bridge, I would like to ask that you please state your name before speaking for the transcript and to keep your phones and microphones on mute when not speaking to avoid any background noise. For those that are in the computer or have connected via the computer, please note in the very lower left-hand part of your screen related to Zoom, there is a telephone icon with the word mute underneath it. If you wish to speak, please make sure that is unmuted. With this, I would like to turn it over to our chair, Claudia Sillard, to begin. Claudia, please go ahead.
Thank you very much, Chantel, and thank you very much, everybody, for joining the call today. In the interest of time, I will give the floor to Steve in order to start with the policy calendar. Thank you, Steve. The floor is yours.
Thank you, Claudia. I'm trying to share the policy calendar. Is it showing?
Yes.
Thanks, everyone. I think that I can get through the policy calendar relatively quickly, and that's important because Scott and Marie will have a lot to share on council. Barbara has an extensive set of items on the next ICANN meeting, and then, of course, Jimson, I think, has a lot of admin issues. So I would say that since our last BC call, we have filed two comments. Back on the 23rd of April, we sent in a page of suggestions to the board regarding the motion that they're going to construct on how to react to the EPDP Phase 1 report and recommendations. At our last BC discussion, we had some differences, and Claudia and a few others had some edits, and I'm so glad we were able to get that resolved. I want to thank Margie Milam for the drafting of that. Now, Claudia sent that in to Chris Despain. He was the board member who asked us for it in the COBE CSG board discussion. So I note that Chris has acknowledged it, and I posted it to the BC BizConst website. But I want to note for you that for some reason it's not showing on the ICANN correspondence page. I'm not at all worried about that, and it's certainly transparent because our letter is on the business constituency's public website. But it might be better to avoid being accused of working behind the scenes. And Chantel, I might ask you to check with staff to see why it is that didn't make it to the correspondence page on ICANN.org. We're not asking that it go there, just wondering why it didn't. Chantel, can you follow up on that?
Hi, Steve. Yes, I can.
Thank you. And then on April 29th, earlier this week, we filed a comment, really it was two comments, on the renewal of registry agreements for .info and .org. I want to thank Andy Mack and Mark Dadisgeld, who helped with the drafting, but a special thank you to Zach Muscovich and Jay Chapman, who participated on the drafting discussions. And Zach provided extensive edits, many of which, but not all of which, we adopted. And for that reason, Zach did not want to be listed among the drafters. And as you know from the lively dialogue, Zach, Jay, and some other domain investors share their views on the BC list. But it was pretty clear to me as your policy coordinator that we had one segment of the BC membership, the domain investors, had a view, and it was different than the view was expressed by other BC members. So we went with the comment that was filed on Monday. The importance of this factors into channel the open public comments that are in front of us, because we've got one coming up in 7 days on the proposed renewal of the .asia sponsored registry agreement. Now, there are no price caps in the old days or the new days on .asia. It's one of the TLDs that has no price controls, one of those many that don't. But it does adopt the provisions that protect registrants in the base registry. It does provide uniform rapid suspension and other dispute resolution procedures, and it, for .asia, adopts the registry's public interest commitments and the registry code of conduct. We have done comments on sponsored GTLDs, such as .coop. We were very critical on .museum. We typically have targeted this notion that if somebody obtains a sponsored TLD and then tries to escape from the whole community designation, that we felt that that should deserve a high degree of community scrutiny. So far we have volunteers on this from Mark Dadisgeld and Jay, Zach, Andrew Mack, and Vivek, you volunteered 2 weeks ago. We don't need to turn this around pretty quickly. I'm not particularly concerned because I think we will stand on the shoulders of the org and info comment and take out all the stuff on price increases because there's no price discussion in the .Asia agreement. But Vivek, as the new to the group, I wonder if you might take the first stab at looking at the .Asia provisions for their community to see whether that's something that deserves further scrutiny. And Vivek, I see you on the line. Would you be able to help out with that in the next 24 hours or so?
Yes, I can.
So thank you, Vivek. So the charge is to look at the .Asia's proposal and see if they are proposing any significant modifications to how they define their target community and the eligibility. It is an open TLD with no price caps. I appreciate that. And we'll probably try to get something into BC members' hands in the next 2 days. Let me turn to the second open public comment, and it's for the .biz registry agreement. I'll scroll it up to the top of our shared window. The base registry agreement is being adopted along with the URS, the dispute resolution procedures, the registry's public interest commitments and code of conduct. So this is very similar to what we discussed on .org, including the expiration of their price caps. So it's my view that this is not due for 2 weeks, but it's my view that this would be a rinse and repeat on our .org comments, pretty much verbatim. And that would be what I would circulate, but I would be happy to discuss with the drafters who are listed here or any other volunteers who want to jump in as to whether they want to refine that position further in the next 14 days. I'm looking at the queue to see if there's any hands up. And I'm not seeing any. So I assume that we have our volunteer core pulled together, and I'll be circulating a draft for that one a little later, probably in 5 or 6 days. We'll focus on .Asia first. There's only one other open public comment. It's number 3 on my list. And this is the situation where ICANN, in a sort of a top-down way, does its strategic plan for five-year increments, 2021 to 2025. Now, part 2, strategic objective number 2, has to do with ICANN's governance. And this is where it's a more of an introspective look at ICANN, not an external look as to how ICANN is regarded in the world, but internally on how our processes are working. I don't know if Tim Chen's on the line, but when Tim sent us his little farewell message over the last 2 days, Tim pointed out a number of the problems that really ICANN is trying to solve with this objective number 2, to make things work smoother and faster inside of the ICANN process. So what ICANN has done is the board is publishing a draft list of issues, and I have it linked in the comment, and they'd like to get feedback from the community by the 4th of June, so we have a lot of time, on specifically how we want to address that. I'll return to what we've posted in February of this year. Jimson, Tim Chen, and I worked on the BC's comment. It's a brief one, where we said that, quote, improving the effectiveness of the multi-stakeholder model is a priority. We said ICANN is rightfully developing a reputation for being slow, combative, and less transparent. And we cited, as an example, decisions in process in the EPDP are just the latest examples in this regard. We wrote that in February of this year, before the EPDP became even more combative and contentious. So I think we should have something to say about this, and I will ask now for volunteers who would help on that. We have a lot of time, but this would be a great one for volunteers who are frustrated at how difficult it is for ICANN to get things done and for you to participate. This is a chance for us to vent frustrations along with suggestions to make it better. I'll pause there and look for volunteers. Marilyn, go ahead.
Thanks, Steve. I'll volunteer to work with others. I think there are several examples of where ICANN is actually moving away from the multi-stakeholder model to a kind of centralized, top-down, staff-driven model. So I'm hoping we could address a few examples in that. and so hoping others will join, but happy to collaborate.
And Marilyn, if you have a chance next time you're at the keyboard, send an email around BC Private with some of the initial thoughts to get this conversation started. Thank you for volunteering. Any others?
Yeah, Steve, I'll be in. Jimson speaking.
Thank you, Jimson. Mark Dadisgeld, your hand is up.
Sorry to interrupt. Very briefly, there's something that I've been talking a lot with different parts of ICANN. ICANN Learn and the fellowship, Next Gen programs and so on, which is better documentation of policies. This is something that I want to anticipate that I'll try to convince you guys to support me on, that the documentation part is very poorly done. So this is something that I'll try to get across, just letting you know in advance.
Mark, at least from my perspective, I could barely hear you on that. Any other BC members have trouble hearing Mark? Maybe it was just me. Thank you, Mark. I'll put you down as an additional volunteer. Any other hands?
Steve, this is Zach Muskovich. I'll lend a hand as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Zach. Glad to have you. This is on number three. Okay, so let me turn to the next topic, which is this notion of modifying WHO's policies to comply with the GDPR and other privacy laws. In the center of the policy calendar, I always list sort of a chronology, a summarized chronology of what's gone on since last May. And at the bottom of it, I really only have one update, and that is that the EPDP's phase two work, which really should have begun in Kobe, but really didn't, is starting tomorrow, as the first call of our biweekly long calls will begin. Right now, Mark Svantrek and Margie Milam deserve your gratitude as our representatives on the EPDP. I'm currently serving as the alternate to back them up, but that is a role that I would happily relinquish to any BC member who felt they could step up to be on all the calls as an alternate, be on the prep calls, and then step in if Mark or Margie have schedule conflicts that mean they can't make a call or can't make a meeting. So write to me offline if you wish, or volunteer now if somebody's interested in replacing me as the alternate on the EPDP. And I wanted to turn to Mark and Margie. So Mark Svantrek, Margie Milam, would either of you like to give a brief update on, or a preview, I guess, on how we're going to proceed this week with the EPDP phase two? Margie, I see you there.
Hi, can you guys hear me?
We do, perfectly. Thank you.
Oh, yay. I figured it out. All right. Yeah, we're starting on Thursday. And we're starting with all the stakeholders are coming, you know, all the members, I guess, are representing their stakeholders, saying what they intend to get out of this next phase of the EPDP. So we're jumping right in. We have Yannis Karklund as our chair, which I think is very good news for us. And we have a lot of very supportive statements from the GAC and from NTIA that I think will help shape how we move in phase two. So I think we're looking for moving quickly and resolving our issues with regards to the purposes that are important for the BC members, the ones related to cybersecurity and intellectual property and consumer protection. So we're jumping right in, and it'll be interesting to see how we all work together with the new chair.
Margie, thank you. See if BC members have any questions, just raise your hand. Margie, I share your enthusiasm for Yannis Karklund's government perspective, but also a former chair of the WIPO group. And I think that means he has an appreciation for law enforcement and protection. Marilyn, I see your hand up. Old hand?
No, it's a current hand. I wondered, and I put this in chat, we want to possibly invite Yannis to the probably the CSG meeting for 15 to 20 minutes. A lot of us know him very well. Barbara does, I do, you do. Jimson does. I'm just not going to be able to name everybody who knows him, but a number of the BC members and the CSG don't know him. And if we could get 20 minutes of his time, that might be kind of a, you know, believe me, he won't show anybody any favoritism, but it would be good to just give him the face of the various organizations.
Steve, this is Barbara. Can I jump in very quickly?
Of course.
Marilyn, I'll get Marilyn. Wow. A lot of interference. I'll get into this in my CSG report, but it may be difficult to even have a CSG open meeting. I'll explain why. But your interest in inviting Giannis is noted, and I'll further elaborate on this when my time is comes. Thank you.
Thank you. And Giannis is a very careful diplomat. And because of that, he would probably not be keen to meet with one group and not all groups, certainly not at his very first public meeting as the chair. So he might decline for completely different reasons because of wanting to appear as a really objective chair. So we'll have to watch for that. Any other questions for Margie? For the BC members who want to follow the actions of the EPDP, about a year ago, we set up a special email list called BC-EPDP. There's 7 or 8 BC members that are on it now, and we use that to communicate in real time what's going on in the EPDP. We do prep calls the night before each of the group calls. So rather than bother the entire BC, we tend to restrict that list. So any BC member who wishes to be on the BC-EPDP could write to Chantel or I, and we'll add you to that list. It's an email list, and you'll, I think, be more in the loop on exactly the day-to-day what's happening in the EPDP. All right, turning now to GNSO Council. So I will scroll up to that section of the policy calendar where we've summarized what our counselors did on the last call on the 18th of April, including a resolution that we discussed extensively in the BC, and then tee up the issues that Marie and Scott want to cover. So Scott and Marie, over to you.
Hi, Scott. Hi all, this is Marie. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, thank you. Go ahead.
Great, thank you very much, Steve. Starting with what we were just discussing, when we voted to approve the appointment of Giannis as the new chair, I think it's worth members remembering that there was a lot of noise coming from the NCSG, purely because back in 2016-2017, Giannis was the chair of the General Assemblies at WIPO. Now, the fact that he did that is one thing among many, 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 many things on his CV, but the NCSG were making a lot of noise about him being potentially biased, which is wrong and not true. But I think it is worth bearing in mind, Steve, going forward. I don't think there is any serious way they could accuse him of that, but it was notable the amount of noise they made. Apart from that, we adopted our response to the GAC communique. We got some wording change in that we weren't happy with. We even got that through registrars with no problems, so pleased about that. The new fellowship criteria, again, thank you to all that put your suggestions in for that. Yes, we did adopt and move forward the report on INGO's access to curative rights protection mechanisms. What's going to happen on that one next is a very big question mark. To my knowledge, it's the first time that the council has adopted a report and sent it to the board knowing it's completely against GAC advice. The GAC wrote to the council the day before the vote expressing concern. I haven't heard anything since, so I don't know. What I do know from our discussion in the council was that the idea, as you all know, was to put the first 4 recommendations up to the board. This is the recommendations put forward by the working group. The 5th one, which goes to, can a IGO, INGO then have access to courts? It's a bit more complicated than that, but after they've won a UDRP. There's so many open, complicated international legal questions there that it was felt the best thing to do was to get a a group of people together who've got expertise in that to work it out. And they are going to be part of the RPM working group. Probably going to be a specific small group chartered within that working group, whether it will be within their current work, whether it will have to wait for phase two, all of these are open questions that we don't know the answer to, but that's where we fell on that one. Only the intellectual property constituency voted against that. The only other thing I think that's worth telling you, but I guess you all know already, is that council always has a liaison to every PDP or working group. We didn't have one to the IRT, so the implementation people for EPDP, put my teeth back in, phase one. We do now have one, and that's Rafiq. And that does make sense because he was the liaison to the entire phase one as it went through. Over to Scott, if you want to add anything.
Sorry, trying to find my unmute button here. Nope, all good.
BC members, any questions for your councillors right now? We won't have an agenda for their new meeting until over the weekend on May the 4th. And again, that would be for the council meeting scheduled for May 16th. All right, let's move off to channel three. Barbara Warner helping us out with what's going on in the commercial stakeholders group. I'm sorry,
go ahead. May I add one thing?
Please, go ahead, Marie.
Really sorry, the proxy and privacy. As you know, we and our IP friends were pushing for it to be implemented as soon as. As you know, we got pushed back in Corby. What's now happened is a letter has been sent from Keith, who's the council chair, to ICANN.org, saying that we do have differences, we're not quite convinced what to do next, leaving it up to org and the IRT to decide on if and when to restart. But notably also pointing out something we do support, which is the idea that we can pass out those parts of the proxy and privacy report that can actually be implemented now because they won't be affected by the EPDP. So we have to wait and see what will happen on that as well. Very sorry for forgetting, and I'll stop talking. Thanks.
Yeah, Marie, I had added that as an attachment and highlighted it in yellow in the policy calendar. Do you feel like you've covered the open questions enough with respect to volunteers on the IRP independent panel?
Well, we haven't got any.
I'm looking for hands, giving it another chance here. Okay. All right. Barbara Warner, over to you, and I've scrolled up to channel three on the policy calendar.
Okay, thanks a lot, Steve. I already previewed a little bit of the particular issues and concerns and challenges we're facing for this meeting. Basically, it boils down to the fact that both meeting space and meeting slots are very few and far between at ICANN 65, to the point where the CSG XCOM agreed to do without a closed meeting in Marrakesh and instead hold our closed meeting, so to speak, via teleconference beforehand. So I imagine Chantel will send out a notice of that in the next few weeks. Chantel will request a meeting room for the CSG open meeting. And if there is room available, the GNSO is only allocated two, and I invite Chantel to jump in and clarify if I get something wrong. But if we are able to secure a meeting room for the CSG open meeting, it was decided that we would try and, because we have to put in the meeting requests, invite Yorn and Cyrus to engage with them on EPDP2. We can certainly also reach out to Giannis, but if we can't get a room, then, you know, there will be no open meeting also. Chantel is also requesting a meeting room for the BC open meeting. Again, if the meeting room is available, does the BC want to use that slot, or do they want to focus on the work of the EPDP2 and all of the other working groups that will be going on? I've looked at the block schedule. I'm happy to send it around. And it would be virtually impossible to schedule any sort of BC meeting and have it not conflict with the EPDP, the subpro, the CCW auction proceeds, or a cross-community session. So it's a very very tight agenda, and of course, only 4 days this time for the policy meeting. So I believe the ICANN Secretariat is encouraging everyone to make the most of the networking cocktails, which will take place at the conclusion of each day of these meetings to network with members of the board, members of ICANN org, members of other stakeholder groups, and so forth. I'm happy to turn the rest of it over to Claudia. Basically, Chris Mondini briefed the CSG XCOM concerning his plans for doing outreach at Marrakesh. Claudia, do you want to take it away?
Sure. Well, thank you, Barbara. As far as Chris Mondini's call was concerned, is basically he's organizing or helping us organizing an outreach activity with the main business organization in Marrakesh. But also the second point that we will need to follow up with him is also how we measure success out of different outreach event, which I think is really important also to give him tool to help us either recruit more members or in any case achieve the goals that we want to achieve with the outreach meeting. So conversation will continue with him, and I know Marilyn, certainly you are in touch with Chris already, in order to organize the activities in Marrakesh. The other point that I wanted to raise, apart from the CSG meeting that there is no space for the agenda, the other constraint that we have is also for the BC meeting, meaning that we only have the possibility of adding or reserving one slot. So it's either the BC closed or BC open meeting. One of the two will have to be probably done via teleconference, the same way as the CSG. So I guess it would be probably more interesting to have the BC open in Marrakesh rather than the closed meeting, but it's up to members as well to jump in. The other point that I also wanted to bring to your attention is the prioritization of topics for the cross-community session, as well as for the for the various sessions that are being held in Marrakesh. So for now, the prioritization goes with who is accuracy, EPDP phase two, combating domain abuse with GDPR, and finally privacy and proxy implementation. We will be circulating the topics to members so that you can eventually jump in, and then you will let me know. The deadline is today though.
Barbara, anything more?
Pardon? Can any question or anyone that wants to input on that?
All right, Chantel, why don't you put the full meeting agenda back up, and I'll turn it back over to you, Claudia.
Sure. Can you hear me? Hello?
Hi, Claudia. Yes, this is Chantel. I can hear you. One moment while I post the agenda.
Yeah. On my end,
you should be able to see the agenda.
Sure. I cannot. I'm sorry. It's not displaying yet. Okay. Now it's displaying. I don't have other issue to add, but I will leave the floor then to Jim Sir for the operation and finance report.
Okay. Greetings, everyone. This is Jimson Olufuye. Well, with regard to operation and finance, number one, with regard to the forthcoming election, yes, it begins May 6th. So from Monday, you can actually go ahead and make your nomination for the next councillor. Of course, there's just one seat, and currently Marie is occupying that seat. But of course, we're in line with the BC tradition, is open to all. And the same thing for the nominating committee elections. So please check your mail and go through all the processes again. But it begins from the 6th of May, this coming Monday. And the announcement of the outcome will come up June 7th. Well, on the outreach for ICANN 65, yes, we just heard from the chair and Barbara with regard to the ongoing collaboration with Chris Modini. So it's evolving, but as you could recall in Japan, we had a meeting with business in Tokyo and also other outreach Kobe itself. So I believe Marilyn is working in that line. Marilyn, do you want to come in if there are any additional updates from what Claudia has provided?
Very briefly, Marilyn. First of all, I just want to say full just recognition of the work that the CSG and Claudia have already been undertaking with Chris. Just in the last 24 hours for Marrakesh, there have been just a couple of new developments, and that is making sure that the associations in Casablanca have invitations early. There's one that ICANN has identified our member from Tagi, Mahmoud, has also reached out to some businesses that Tagi has contacts with and associations. So it's possible that we would have an additional one or two brief meetings in Casablanca. That has to be still verified because of whether or not the business groups are actually open to hosting a small delegation of business members. I did go online and I checked on travel issues for people who might be willing to stop in Casablanca. So offline, if already one VC member has contacted me with interest. So if you're interested.
Yeah, I'm on a conference call.
If you're interested, you know, I'll just post, Claudia, Barbara, if that's okay with you, I'll just post asking people to let me know. But again, it comes down to whether the associations are open to meeting in the afternoon on Friday in Casablanca. We know at least one will be, but we have to figure out if more will be. Chris had also, and I'm hoping Barbara and Claudia, he mentioned this, he's also looking at replicating the luncheon event that is similar to what he did for the CSG constituencies on site in Marrakesh. And that's still under development. That cost would be borne by ICANN. So the good news is the BC's contribution financially would be to have our presence and provide any additional support for. We have at least one crop applicant, maybe one more. So we would have members attending, have our publications, et cetera. But the actual financial cost of the sponsorship for the lunch would be borne by Chris and Bahir's budget if we're able to do a lunch. And again, that's a CSG participatory lunch with invited attendees from the community on site in Marrakesh.
Okay. Great. Thank you very much, Marilyn, for that CRISC update. Yes, that reminds me about our newsletter. You mentioned it in passing. Yes, the production of our next newsletter is on. If you have a short article that you think is relevant, please send it to Chantel, and we'll be able to push it into our next newsletter for the outreach. So thank you, Marilyn, on that. And next is on crop. You can recall that the chair sent out an expression of interest invitation to members to use CROP, that is a community regional outreach program, CROP facility that is provided by ICANN. It used to be 6 before, but it's been reduced by 50%. So we just have 3 CROP slots now. That is an average one per ICANN meeting. So we got overall about 10 requests to use CROP and also to use the remainder of our outreach funding for FY19, which also include leadership development funding. So as I said, 10 applications came in and they were all served by ESCOM. So the 3 CROPs was allocated. But it's very likely that one of the CROP's recipients may not be using it anymore. And so on behalf of ESCOM, we'd like to put it out, maybe before it is sent again on the list, that anyone interested in using the CROP to attend outreach in ICANN 63 could please put in their application. Please to ESCOM. An information will go out shortly, but we only have a window of today and tomorrow for whoever is interested to put in their expression of interest so that all the necessary formalities can be concluded latest by Friday. So, that's on the CROP and the use of our outreach funding. Well, perhaps before the end of today, you'll get information about invoice for FY20. You get a notification about FY20 invoices. So if you have not yet received it, please expect it. We're giving us about at least 60 days in advance so that we can go through our internal processes towards promptly settling that invoice. Okay, thank you for that. And then there is the budget for FY20 has been prepared, and the finance committee is meeting tomorrow to do reviews and check. So there is something we are looking at. I don't know if a member has comments on it, but the finance committee is thinking seriously about it. And that is regard to marking the 20th anniversary of the BC. As you could recall, BC was set up immediately after ICANN was established. That was, this was set up in 1999. So it will be, this will be 20 in FY20. So we are targeting Montreal when we have an outreach event. Perhaps we can have also the opportunity to mark anniversary and then invite other friends and constituency and share memorabilia. And maybe you could have a compendium wherein all the officers of BC, past officers, you know, can be noted and et cetera, et cetera. So just for you to have that in mind, even as the finance committee finalizes the budget for FY20. So before the next call, surely you get a draft in your mail. So, and then we can begin to look at it before Marrakesh, because it will be approved in Marrakesh. So, but expect it before the next BCC meeting. So on this note, I don't know if there is any question, and that will be it for me at this point. Thank you. Back to you, Claudia.
Thank you, Jimson. Is there any question or any item that members would like to raise? Hearing none, I think we can...
Claudia, Claudia, it's Steve. Just one thing. I noticed that Chris Wilson joined the call, and I thought I would give Chris an opportunity, if he wished.
Absolutely.
To update us on any late-breaking public news on the .Amazon application.
Sure. Chris, the floor is yours.
Sure. Can people hear me?
We do.
Yes.
Great. Thanks, Steve. I'll just quickly say nothing, no new public news other than the board will be meeting beginning at the end of this week over the weekend, per usual, per its previously scheduled board meeting. Our understanding is that .Amazon will be discussed at the board meeting, but there have been no indications or promises that there'll be an actual decision made at that meeting. I think for those that are interested, there's a litany of correspondence on the ICANN correspondence page from the last couple of weeks, including filings and letters that we have sent to ICANN on this issue. And we've taken the position that there is no real realistic possibility for a mutual solution between the company and the 8 countries, and that we have submitted our proposed public interest commitment as a way, in the spirit of compromise, as a way to sort of hopefully ameliorate the concerns expressed by governments about this issue, and would like the board to approve our applications with that public interest commitment attached. So all that information is public. It's on the, again, on the ICANN correspondence page. You know, we made the point, again, that the decision on this needs to be made soon, very soon. For those that may know, this has been pending since 2012, since we first applied for .Amazon. So it's long, long overdue, and it's been almost 2 years since an IRP decision back in July 2017 that basically told the board that it needed to revisit its decision to deny our applications and come up with an independent judgment as to why our applications should not be approved. So a lot of time has passed. It's time for a decision, and we're hopeful that that can be done soon. So I will certainly keep people posted on developments. I think worst case is if the board decides this weekend that they don't want to make a decision and that they decide to punt a decision into the deep future, shall we say. I think that's a problem, and I think that would be a problem for not just us, obviously, but for the BC and others who care about sort of accountability of ICANN and making tough decisions. So more to come on that potentially as things develop. Happy to answer questions now or offline as well, of course.
Thank you, Chris. Is there any question? And I'm sorry, I cannot see the chat.
Claudia, this is Sasha. I don't have a question about what Chris was talking about for .Amazon, but I just wanted to mention something related to the European Commission statement that they put out regarding who is. So we've heard, I know there was a lot of concern about what it would mean for IP and everything else that we are interested in. We've heard that the European Commission is actually going to put out a restatement and some sort of clarification because they didn't actually intend that caused that type of confusion. Instead, what they were trying to say is that we shouldn't conflate ICANN's purposes with third-party purposes, but they still do think that IP, consumer protection, et cetera, are things that should be part of phase two of the EPDP. So in the next few weeks, we should be seeing a statement from them to clarify their position.
Thank you. Any other items that members want to share? If not, I think we can adjourn the call and we'll speak in 2 weeks' time. Thank you, everybody.